You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we talk to you each and every week about the Montreal Canadiens, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained all about your favorite NHL franchise. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for the show. For this week, it's episode 377 of Canadiens Connection. This week's episode is titled Reality Check. Are the Habs really who we think they are? That's something to ponder, a little mystery right there. But of course, there's no mystery as to who is sharing the studio with me today. That's my wonderful co-host, our founder and president here at Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. It sounds like it's going to be an interesting show today.
An interesting show. Should be an interesting month as well. Our first show of December. Christmas coming up, of course, everybody's getting excited about that. We've got World Juniors, for the Montreal Canadiens, this is a tough stretch. So this is kind of a make or break stretch for them. It's going to be an interesting month of December, and we're glad to be here to tell you all about it.
That's right. Before we kind of, explain the thinking behind that title of the show and explain the big topic. Let's first give you a rundown of what to expect today. In our first segment, if you're new to the show, our first segment is always our week in review segment. And that's where you get kind of all the X's and O's. You're going to get a recap of the games that took place this past week. I'll give you kind of the highlights and lowlights of each of those games, get you caught up on what the Canadiens' current standings are in the NHL. We also select our own three stars of the week and reveal those, get you caught up on roster news, that's injuries or transactions or signings, line changes, that type of thing. So we'll cover all the roster news for you as well. We always have a section in the first segment focusing on Habs prospects. And so we'll highlight some prospects, those playing in Laval, those playing in Trois-Rivières, and those playing in junior leagues or international leagues, that type of thing. Then we always close out the first segment with our basic general hockey notes that could be international hockey based or just the NHL in general, some big headlines that came up in the news this week that we will cover. All of that is the run-up to our second segment. And our second segment is when we tackle the big topic. And so the title of the show is Reality Check, Are the Habs Really Who We Think They Are? Well, the big topic this week is True or False, debunking the biggest talking points of the season. Are the Habs really who we think they are? And a lot of us think the Habs are who they are based off of the talking points that come from the mainstream media or from the team themselves or players and so forth. And we're going to do a round of true or false and examine some bold statements that have been made by the media or the organization over the course of these past few months to start the season and decide if they're true or false. And so it's going to be an interesting exercise for sure. We'll also have for you a question of the week to answer, where we ask you a question that we want to hear your responses regarding, usually related to the big topic. And then finally, in our third segment, we get you, we turn the microphone over to you, basically, where we pull out the best responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week and read them out to all of you to think about or to respond to yourself, and so on and so forth. And then we do a little bit of a preview to get you set up for what kind of Canadians action is heading your way this coming week. So hope you are settled in and ready for a great show today. If you would like to interact with us, we encourage you to do that, whether you're answering the question of the week, sending in a question for a future mailbag episode, or if you just have an opinion or a comment that you want to make. Send us a text on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853-ROCKET. Again, 5853-ROCKET. You can also drop a comment on our YouTube channel. You can find that over at InsideTheCanadians.com, InsideTheCanadians.com. Over on our YouTube channel, you can drop a comment on Spotify if that's how you're currently listening, or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection. All right, so we're not going to spend much time talking about last Saturday's Colorado versus Montreal game because we actually recorded our podcast after that afternoon matinee game had happened. So we'll just remind you that Colorado, oh boy, swept the floor with the Canadians with a 7-2 victory. It was an ugly, 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 ugly road game, and probably one the Canadians were eager to forget about.
Yeah, and but shouldn't avoid it completely because there was lots of lessons to be learned. We said it was a measuring stick game. It was the kind of game that kind of puts a hole in some of those narratives that the legacy media folks are trying to weave.
Mm-hmm. So that then brings us to Tuesday, which is the first of a back-to-back set on home ice. Ottawa in town in Montreal to take on the Canadiens. Interestingly enough, Sammy Montembeau in goal for this one. And it didn't go well. Ottawa, 5-2 victory over the Montreal Canadiens.
That started okay. Yaroslav Slavkovsky with a power play goal from Caulfield and Suzuki. But the Canadiens really could only generate offense via the power play. Slavkovsky with a first period power play goal, Nick Suzuki with a second period power play goal, and that was it, two goals. That's all they could generate. Just 22 shots for the Canadians in this game. And at the other end, you said 5-2, five goals given up by Sam Montembeau, but it could have been 12. It could have been 14. He was atrocious in this game. He was all over the place, and there was pucks hitting posts. He was sliding out of his crease, and he looked like he was completely lost. It was interesting because in the first period intermission, they went to the panel. Marty Baron, former NHL goaltender who's been on this show, and he said, gee, I was planning to praise Sam Montembeau. That was what I prepared, to praise Sam Montembeau. But he was so bad in the first period. He gave up two bad goals. He was looked like he wasn't ready, and he spent the whole first period swimming in his crease. I'm paraphrasing, but those were the words from Marty Brown.
Yeah, he did use the word swimming
and bad goals, and said that he was not ready. So it was an ugly performance by the Canadians in front of Montembeau, but he just looked completely lost, and it was, yeah, fans were upset. You heard afterwards, give the net to Dobush. You heard call up Fowler. You heard fire Marty. Fans were really upset after this game.
They definitely were. And so that took us then to the next part of the back-to-back, which was Wednesday night. A big deal in Montreal. This was Andre Markov tribute night. And so lots of people in the building for that. Winnipeg in town for this game. Dobish in the net for this one. Spectacular performance by him. And the Canadians did a little bit better on the offensive side and managed to take this all the way to the shootout and come out on top with 2 points, beating Winnipeg 3-2 in the shootout.
Yeah, the Winnipeg Jets are a team that's struggling right now, particularly with Connor Hellebuyck out. And it was the Canadians were fortunate that they could come back after such an awful performance against the Senators, play the next night. It was a good start to it with the Andre Markov tribute night, saluting the general. Unfortunately, one of the networks decided not that they had panels, they had graphics, they had all kinds of stuff, but no time at all for showing Andre Markov's ceremony,
which was bizarre,
which was really odd. This was Slavkovsky got the power play goal, Kapanen, his 8th of the season. Yes, his 8th of the season already. And Cole Caulfield with the game decider. Jakub Dobish, .938 save percentage in this. An enormous save in overtime. Mm-hmm. And he was perfect in the shootout.
Absolutely. It was a great, great effort. So it was a little bit easier for you to come up with some 3 stars for this week.
For sure. I have Oliver Kapanen as my first star, Ivan Demidov as my second star, and Yuri Slavkovsky as my third star. Honorable mentions have to go to Nick Suzuki and Cole Caulfield, and Jakub Dobish getting that win and putting the Canadians, you know, would have been pretty disastrous had they won, had they lost back to back. So those are my 3 honorable mentions. Nick Suzuki had 4 points, all on the power play. Cole Caulfield had 4 points, all on the power play. No points even strength for Caulfield. No points even strength for Suzuki. So that's why we have I've placed Oliver Kapanen as the first star. In 3 games, he had 2 points, a goal and an assist. Both were even strength points. He had 8 shots on goal for the game. That was tops amongst the Canadians. Demidov, he also had 2 even strength points in 3 games, and Slavkovsky had 2 power play goals and an assist for 3 points.
Wow. So were you easily able to determine if there were players who were struggling this week?
Took me moments. the struggling players were easy to identify. Mike Matheson, not a good week for Mike Matheson. He was a -5 in those 3 games, worst amongst Habs defensemen. And Zach Bolduc, he went from the first line to the fourth line and playing 7-odd minutes, 7:40, something like that, between the Ottawa game and the Winnipeg game. I should say that Marty St. Louis changed all of his lines for that Winnipeg game. But Zach Bolduc, you know, a couple of goals, as you would when you're playing with 2 elite players, but showing that he just did not belong. We talked about the use of merit wasn't used here. It was just used to fill a hole and get Bolduc going, but he was dropped to the fourth line, and so Bolduc, Matheson has my struggling 2 players.
All right. Well, the Canadians, through 26 games played, now sit with a 14-9-3 record. In case you don't want to do the math yourself, that's 31 points. Good enough for 3rd place in the Atlantic Division, 15th overall in the NHL. So sitting right around the middle of the pack-ish.
And most importantly, they're holding on to a playoff spot currently.
Yeah.
Before the 2 weekend games, before the Saturday game against the Leafs and the Sunday, another back-to-back Sunday game. So that's the good news. The bad news, numbers that I like to keep an eye on. regulation wins. I've mentioned that before. They only have 8. They didn't get any more this week. That places them 23rd in the league. And their goal differential is a -7. That also places them 23rd in the league. Those are two negative indicators for where they sit now.
All right. In terms of the roster, Jaden Struble missed a game, just one game, with an upper body injury this week.
Yeah, kind of a late scratch and missed a game, but he was back in the lineup.
And Kirby Dach practicing skating on his own this week.
Skated on his own, and Broussard spent maybe 15 minutes on the ice. It's early. Don't take it. His return isn't imminent at all, but shows that he's making progress.
On Wednesday, the Canadians sent Florian Jacki and Adam Engstrom back down to Laval.
Engstrom looked good. Well, and for that matter, Florian looked pretty good too when he was in the lineup.
Yeah, definitely. And just something to keep an eye on, not necessarily an indicator of in any pending absence for injury, but that Josh Anderson did not participate in Friday's practice this week. He took a therapy day.
Yeah, kind of expect him to play. We have no indication that he's not going to play on Saturday night, but yeah. Obviously dealing with an issue.
So any changes with the lines for this week? You mentioned that Bolduc has been dropped down to the fourth line. Looks like with Florian Jacki back down in Laval, that draws Jared Davidson back into the lineup down on the fourth line as well.
Well, there were, as I said, there were changes to every single line for Wednesday's game against Winnipeg. We don't know what the lines are going to look like for Saturday or Sunday, but the way they're set up now, Slavkovsky back on the top line. The top line was really struggling with Bolduc there. They were underwater in terms of chances. So now it's Suzuki with Caulfield and Slavkovsky. Slavkovsky actually did well with the second line. You kind of need him for both lines with Kapanen and Demidov. Marty's trying out Texier there. Skilled player, but is deficient in a number of other areas. Doesn't forecheck. Kind of weak on defense. But the skill, Marty's trying to see what he does there. Kind of reformed Evans with Gallagher and Anderson, and that leaves a fourth line of Valeno with Davidson. And as we said, Bolduc dropped all the way to the fourth line, and that's kind of where he belongs right at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Defense pairings look pretty much
the same.
Pretty much the same. And goaltending, Dobish is going to start on Saturday night on the road in Toronto against the Maple Leafs. So since it's a back-to-back situation, does that mean that Montembeau will probably start in goal against the Blues on Sunday? Or
the word probably is Marty's. He said Monty will probably start, but he's not put that in pen.
Why not roll
just yet?
Why not just do something bold and roll the dice? And Dobish can handle a back-to-back. It's not a matinee tomorrow.
Well, the Blues, you know where they are in the standings. So this is all about, the most winnable games. You're supposed to put your start in. No, the most winnable games this season have all gone to Sam Montembeau.
All right. Well, let's now take a look at this week's Habs Prospect Report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
Now, normally we highlight one Canadiens prospect who is not playing in the pro leagues, in the AHL or the ECHL. This week, we're not sticking to one. We've got three who have had some pretty notable weeks. First up, Alexander Jurovsky, named KHL Rookie of the Month for the month of November. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, that's back-to-back for him now as Rookie of the Month. having a great season. He's also going to go to the KHL All-Star game. And, you know, he's drawing comparisons to the scoring that Miechkov did, that mm-hmm. Demidov did. And he's doing this all in not a lot of ice time, averaging about 14 minutes in ice time. So he is having a great season.
Congratulations are also in order for Habs goaltending prospect Quentin Miller. He has been named the NCHC Goalie of the Month for November.
We've profiled Quentin Miller a couple of times and talked about him last week in our questions that we got asking about goaltending prospects. Quentin Miller is a good one. Congratulations to him on being named Goalie of the Month for the NCHC.
And we have to circle back to Bryce Pickford once again, because that young man recorded a Gordie Howe hat trick this week.
he seems every second week we're talking about Bryce Pickford, mostly for his offense, and he got a goal, he got an assist, and he was in a fight and got ejected this week. so he just keeps forcing us to put him in the prospect spotlight.
All right. Laval, switching gears for the prospects and shifting over to Laval in the AHL, they are on a tear. They won all four of their games this week, three of which were on the road, beating Lehigh Valley in the shootout on the road last Saturday.
Sammy Blais, we told you last week, reclaimed on waivers, sent to Laval, and a nice game there. He had a couple of goals, had the shootout winner, Jacob Fowler. He just keeps winning. 34 saves, and he was perfect in the shootout.
The next afternoon, Laval traveled to Hershey, where they defeated the Hershey Bears 4-3. Mark Delgazzo, actually the first star in that game, he recorded 2 points in that one.
You'll remember that name. He's been called up a couple of times as an insurance policy for the Canadians, not gotten into an NHL game yet.
Then Laval went home to Quebec and played an odd Tuesday night game. Providence Bruins were in town. Jacob Fowler back in the net again, made a whole bunch of saves for Laval to win 4-1.
Yeah, another 28 saves and another win for Fowler.
And Friday, Laval traveled to Belleville. They actually have a back-to-back in Belleville this weekend. Friday night was the first of those two games. With a trouncing in Belleville, 5-2 victory for the Rocket.
Florian Jacquet, another guy returning to the Laval lineup, and he got himself 3 points. Wasn't enough for the first star. And we talked about this before the game. I talked about it with Chris. The three stars for this game were odd. Florian Jacquet deserved a star with 3 points.
Definitely. So Laval's on a 6-game winning streak right now. They've won 8 of their last 10. They've played 22 games this season. They are 16-6 on the season. That puts them first in the North Division and third overall in the AHL. Pascal Vincent has them steaming right along, cruising, like they were last year, doing really, really well. They play Belleville again today in Belleville. Then they come home next week for 2 games at Place Bell, Wednesday night and Friday night, both against the Toronto Marlies. And Trois-Rivières doing well as well. They are 10-6-0-3 on the season through 19 games, third in the North, 10th overall in the ECHL. So they have improved on their slow start of the season. All right. As we wind down this first segment, let's just bring you some general notes from around the hockey world. In case you haven't noticed, the 2026 Winter Olympics has been a not so happy topic of conversation over the past month. There continue to be lots of questions and lots of issues in terms of the ice surface in Milan. And the NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly had a very strong statement this week.
Quote, if there's no rink completed, there's no NHL players going to the Olympics.
Period.
End of quote. Yeah. He was speaking to Daily Faceoff. Strong statement from Bill Daly. Is there any teeth behind it? Likely not. It's just, I think an idle threat, but indicative of the fact that the NHL, the NHLPA are not very happy. All sorts of issues with the rink. And it came out this week that there's a report that the rink's going to end up being short of NHL standards by 3 feet, just over 3 feet in length. That's the ice surface. So and it's not likely to be completed completely, you know, finished right off. If they do, it'll come in just under the wire. It's been a mess. The IIHF has just not had control of this thing. And if it says anything, if the NHL is going to be sending players mid-season with the opportunity to one, showcase their players, but two, expose their players to risk, the NHL's got to take a firmer grip on the Olympics in the future.
Definitely. This is an odd thing that happened this week. On Thursday, the NHL announced in an online post that the Canadiens and Jets are going to play an outdoor game in October 2026. And then they deleted it.
All right.
So maybe admin for the NHL was starting to do some scheduled tweets and accidentally hit publish instead of schedule.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Possibly. So in October, the end of October of next year, this was going to be designated as a Heritage Classic game. Between the Canadiens and Jets, supposed to take place at the Princess Auto Stadium. That's the home of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. There is a source that says that this game could be confirmed as soon as this weekend. But for now, it was just a tease, I guess.
Well, the Canadiens have played in a Heritage Classic with the Jets before, haven't they?
They played in, the Canadiens have played in, what is it, four or five Heritage Classics so far.
These two, this would be a great matchup if this is going to take place and would be a great venue as well. So let's hope that that happens.
And we're still waiting to see if the Canadiens, there was rumblings that the Canadiens would have an outdoor game near the F1 circuits in Montreal. So we'll see if that ever gets off the ground.
We'll see. All right. We are going to take our first break here on the Canadiens Connection podcast. When we come back, it's time to dig into that big topic segment. True or false? That's what we're playing today. Debunking the biggest talking points of the season. This is going to get interesting. We'll see what you think about it as well. So stay with us. You are listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Turkey, touchdowns, and takes. It's Thanksgiving, and the action doesn't stop at the dinner table. Feast on some winnings this holiday with Pick 6, DraftKings' newest fantasy pick'em game. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats. It's that simple. Pick 6 brings you upside those other pick'em sites can't touch. The better you perform, the bigger your payout. And it's available in most states, including Texas, California, Georgia, and more. So download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. New DraftKings customers can play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18+. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And and welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. If you'd like to follow me over on X, you are more than welcome to do that. My handle over there is at Flyers Rule. You'll definitely want to be following Rick on X, Twitter, whatever you still refer to it as, because he mans our main account here at Rocket Sports. His handle is at Rocket Sports. It's the main hub for all of our information, whether it's Habs updates, Rocket updates, Trois Rivières updates, links to our content on all various platforms, podcasts, videos, written content, you name it, as well as general news and coverage and that type of thing. So be sure you're following him at Rocket Sports. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you haven't done that already, it takes just a second. Just look down at your phone, your computer, however you're listening. Tap that subscribe button. And also be sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel as well, InsideTheCanadians.com. We never want you to miss an episode. We are here 365 days a year. We're here 52 weeks of the year. There's never an off season for the Canadians Connection podcast. All right, so now let's dive into our big topic, because this week we're taking on some of the loudest talking points in Montreal, and basically we're going to put them to the test. And if you've been listening for any length of time, you know this is going to be no sugarcoating, no echo chamber takes. we're playing true or false, Habs edition. True or false? We've actually pulled out 7 or 8 statements that you've probably heard this season from the front office, from behind the bench, from headlines, social media, mainstream media. Some of them have probably sounded pretty convincing. Some of them maybe have gotten you a little excited. Others, maybe not so much. So the challenge is this: which of the narratives that we have heard from the so-called experts, from the head honchos, that type of thing, which of those narratives stand up to pressure? Which ones fall apart as soon as you kind of take a look under the surface? So we're going to walk through each one of them. We're going to tell you what the public statement is that we have heard. And then we're going to talk about kind of what the data tells us, what the eye test tells us, just what common sense tells us, what experience tells us, and kind of give you our final ruling on whether or not those statements really are true or false. And I think it's going to be an interesting exercise today. And we're going to start off with the guy who was honored this week, Andrei Markov, the general. Didn't we call him the general?
He is the general.
And the statement that has been publicly made is, quote, Andrei Markov was perennially underrated. Is that true or false?
That's unquestionably true.
Yes, it is. We're starting with an easy one.
Absolutely true. It is 100% true. He was underrated. But that quote could have easily said underappreciated. And yeah, you get that, you know, maybe around the league that, you know, he was a quiet guy. Not a lot of fanfare. His interviews didn't attract a lot of attention. He never drew attention to himself, very humble, very quiet. But he was underappreciated in Montreal, and he was, it was worse than that. He was savagely, criticized, by the mainstream media. And listen, he went through some injury issues, and maybe he wasn't the same after that, but there was constantly people trying to run him out of town, making fun of him. You know, there was comments that bordered on xenophobia, talking about that he talks like a caveman and all of that. So I could name names here. I won't, by the Montreal media. He was treated awfully, and he was really treated awfully by Marc Bergevin to play hardball with Andrei Markov when he was 10 games short of of a thousand games was just criminally wrong, morally wrong. And the take it or leave it, and whoever takes the offer first, I'll deal with them. If you want loyalty, buy a dog. All of those comments by Mark Bergevin, and most of those supported. There was a time when, right until the point where he left, that Mark Bergevin was a darling. In the eyes of the Montreal media. So Andrei Markov was asked about, what about those being so close to 1,000 games and feelings of bitterness and all of that. And Markov said this week, quote, "It stayed with me when I left Montreal, but now it's over. I'm lucky to have played my entire career in Montreal." It stung him. It absolutely stung him.
It stung all of us who were supporters of his.
And it was so unexpected, and not deserved. Being the bigger man and being such a good soul, he went on to say, "It's a special place because of the fans, the city, and the people outside hockey who've been nice to me." To put the fans, the city, and the people outside hockey. So there were a lot of people who were not nice to him. The media was not nice to him. Members of the organization were not nice to him. And all of the nonsense, talk about debunking statements. I remember when, I could name names, but the reporters who were head over heels in love with David Schlemko, Mark Strider, but Rafael Diaz, there is a reporter, again, I know the name, who said he was the perfect replacement for Andrei Markov, and the sooner Andrei Markov got out of the way, the sooner Rafael Diaz would flourish. And half of you listening probably don't even know who Rafael Diaz is. This one is, emphatically say, was true. Andrei Markov, he was perennial, underrated, and I'll add, underappreciated.
Definitely. The next one that we are going to play true or false with, we actually answered this when this statement came out at the beginning of the season during training camp. We made our opinions known about how true or false we thought this statement was at the time it happened, because it was that obvious to us, at least. And that would be, quote, "I would take our 7D over anyone." And that quote was attributed through Jaden Struble in an interview. Struble says that is something that Marty St. Louis said to him.
Yeah, that they all got phone calls in the off season, and that Marty said that he'd take our 7D over anyone. Now, we don't know that Marty said that.
Exactly.
Right. But whether it was paraphrased or not, not really any reason for Jaden Struble to lie there. But the narrative that came out of that and was replayed over and over and over again was that the Montreal Canadiens have the best 7 defensemen in the NHL. That was hammered over and over again that was, all the defensive struggles of last year because of the puck movers with the Montreal Canadiens, that they weren't going to spend any time in their own zone and they would have no defensive issues this season. And it even led to people talking about, and this has come recently too, about Caden Gooley being traded. And that a number of teams around the league had made inquiries about whether Caden Gooley was available. They were told no. And we've seen that narrative was always silly. And I said at the time, it's silly, it's dumb. Mm-hmm. Didn't stop people from repeating it and arguing with me. But it was very silly. And we've seen that after Caden Gooley went down with injury, the defensive core, the defensive system, the defensive the defensemen in the Montreal Canadiens, the ones they ice every night, it's just collapsed. They have very difficult time defending, and this narrative just blew up all by itself.
It did. So I would say that it's pretty clear that that is also that is a false statement. All right, the third statement that we've heard, this is a little more recent, is that, quote, Arbor Jacki regained his title belt after Wednesday's tilt.
I'd say there's some mixed truth in there.
Yeah.
It was clear that Arbor Jacki, he's picking his spots where he's been fighting this year, and respected going into the season as one of the heavyweights in the National Hockey League, fearless and would go against anyone. But he's been asked to play, to focus on staying on the ice, and I think he's done that for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But then he struggled on the fight card, and he lost probably about four fights in a row, and not by a split decision. He lost them decisively, handily.
Yeah.
And was kind of showed up. So when the opportunity came on Wednesday against the Winnipeg Jets, it was Adam Lowry who had nailed Alex Carrier behind the net. Adam Lowry, who is not necessarily a fighter, he's a big guy and tough customer, a physical player. He'd a legal hit. You're not supposed to have to fight after legal hits, but
no.
Adam Lowry nailed Alex Carrier, and he went, you know, as they say, over tea kettle kind of thing behind the net. And so Arbor Jacki challenged him, and it was more or less a draw, but Arbor was the first one to celebrate, and he celebrated enthusiastically, I would say maybe overzealously. But you could tell that it made it meant a lot.
It meant something to
him. It meant a lot. So afterwards he said, and I thought this was interesting. He said, I wondered if I'd lost my touch.
Mm.
He said it was a big deal. When you lose a few fights, you start to wonder, have I lost my touch? What's going on? I'm mentally strong and that helps. But you see that it had affected him. It had creeped into his mind. It had taken away from his identity. So, it wasn't a decisive win. Had he regained his belt? None of that. But it was important to his mindset, Arbor Jacki's mindset, that he at least, he had committed himself well in the battle.
And maybe it helps get him back on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
All right, our next one is actually, you get a bonus in this one because this is a two-parter. We got two statements to determine if they are true or false. This is related to goaltending, so obviously there's a lot to unpack on that topic. The first statement is this, quote, Monty has his confidence back after the Vegas game. His track record means that he's still the Canadiens' number one goaltender, end quote.
Well, that one got blown up on in the game against Ottawa. And certainly blown up in the first intermission with the comments from Marty Baron.
Yeah.
Listen, Marty is getting, Marty, Monty is getting more than the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
He's getting catered to this season by Marty St. Louis, who has admitted he knows nothing whatsoever about how to manage goaltenders, and it's showing. But Marty has bent over backwards for Sam Montembeau, and it's still
not working.
It's still not working. Is he the number Canadian's number? No, of course not. Of course not. Even though he's getting all of this preferential treatment, and the thing is that, you know, this is a situation where his stats were his ego. His prominence in the league was overpumped, overinflated, by, you know, picking and choosing select stats, cherry picking stats, that suited a narrative. And he just wasn't worthy of them in this season, whether it's his confidence, whatever it is, his technique, his confidence, everything is gone. It's telling because he has the worst stats of his career, and he is playing on the best team he's ever played with in his career.
Yeah.
And that's should be a big warning bell. It certainly was to the Team Canada folks, and it should be to the Montreal Canadiens.
So that part definitely false. The second part of this topic is this statement, quote, "It wasn't supposed to be like this, but Hughes has no choice. It's time to call up Jacob Fowler," end quote. We've talked about this when Monty first really started to struggle, and all of a sudden everybody was clamoring for a call up Fowler kind of thing.
I struggle with this one because it's so tempting, and
it is.
Fowler has been so good, and he has such a good mindset, and he's playing so well. But you know, the goaltending isn't the only issue. It's a bit of a dumpster fire in the defensive zone for the Montreal Canadiens, and you really don't. And you know, I don't know that the locker room is all that healthy. I don't know that you know, there's lots of questions coming about the team, about the management, about the coaching. I don't know that it's the right choice to throw Fowler. I think it's a wrong choice to throw Fowler in that when he's got a good thing going in Laval. I certainly understand the you know, the temptation and all that. But listen, part of that is only if you think this is kind of a playoffs or bust kind of situation. I don't think it is. If the Canadians don't make the playoffs, so be it. I said so in my preseason predictions, prognostications that because of injuries and other things that I didn't think it was going to happen, and it shouldn't be a panic situation. I think it would be a panic move to call up Fowler.
I think so, too. All right, next statement. This is an interesting one. Quote, "Kent Hughes is a genius. He fleeced the Blues by trading Logan Mailloux to acquire Zach Bolduc." And just a reminder that all of these statements that we are saying true or false, these are actual things that have been said either by media members in Montreal, by members of the team or management or executives for the Canadiens, or by former or current players. Like, these are all actual sentences, actual statements that have been put out there.
You know that I don't like the phrase fleeced. Because rarely does that happen. And in this kind of situation where you have two young prospects, it's way, 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 way too early to make any kind of evaluation about that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're dealing with a young defenseman, who's going to take a longer time to develop, than it's going to take the forward. Zach Bolduc, he started the season well, and off to a great start and scored in three straight games, then went for a long stretch of a lot of games without contributing. He got a promotion to the top line when he really hadn't earned it. And when you're playing with two elite players, you're going to look good. A little bit of Raphael Harvey Pinard vibes going on there, that you could throw anybody into that situation. And it was clear from Marty's comments that Bolduc, he's just not a top six winger at this point. He doesn't, you know, it's been said he has no commitment to the defensive game. And of course, if you're playing on the top line, you have to not only have a commitment, you have to do it well. Bolduc's got a shot right now. He's a good skater. He's not winning very many of his battles. He doesn't retrieve pucks. He's a defensive liability. He's got a long way to go. Logan Mailloux, he spent some time in the AHL this season. We'll see if we see him on Sunday night with the Blues. He's got a lethal shot. He's got a lot of offense to his game. He's a great skater. He's physical. He's mean. High compete level. He's still learning defensive reads and his coverage in his own zone. As we've said, it takes a little bit longer for defensemen to try and figure things out. But with the Canadiens only having one defenseman right now in the NHL organization that fits all of those, you know, being physical, being able to skate, all those kind of things in Caden Gooley, would they like to have another guy like that? Well, certainly they do. Do they regret the choice they made? I don't think so. But it's too soon to call, you know, Doug Armstrong a genius or Kent Hughes a genius. Doug Armstrong's a smart GM. There's a reason he traded Zach Bolduc, and I think we're seeing some of those reasons play out right now.
All right. Next up, we have this statement. Quote, overpaying to acquire a seasoned veteran should be Kent Hughes' top priority to steady this season.
I've heard this constantly, and I've heard it this past week. They keep talking about the Canadiens having the youngest roster, about the Canadiens don't, all of these young players don't have the experience to know how to react in a situation with a one-goal lead. These young players don't know how to react to a season with a compressed Olympic schedule. That seasoned players would be much better to cope. Like Josh Anderson, who's missing practices, Brendan Gallagher, who at times is looking like the schedule's taking a wear and tear on him. I think this is silly, and can be easily debunked, but it doesn't stop people in saying it. But again, it goes back to only if you're desperate. And hopefully Kent Hughes won't get drawn into that kind of situation. He's not going to go out and sacrifice the future for trying to fix this season to stabilize the roster. I sure hope not. And I know there's a lot of pressure on him. There's a lot of media who are saying these things. I think it's ridiculous. But we do know that, you know, we've heard the talk about Ryan O'Reilly being available in Nashville. He'd be maybe available, a solution for 18 months or so, but a lot to give up in a first and a top prospect. Kiefer Sherwood has been a name that apparently the Canadiens have reached out to Vancouver. Apparently he's available. He's termed a poor man's Tom Wilson. But he's a unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, and you could be in a situation where somebody's going to overpay for him and pay him for his past performance, his past hits. And the Canadians don't need to get into a situation like that. There was a Vancouver reporter that said that, you know, the Canadians had inquired about Kiefer Sherwood and Vancouver has inquired about Zach Bolduc. I don't see the Canadians giving up on Bolduc just yet. And I don't see them doing that, trading any of their young players for a Kiefer Sherwood. And the price apparently for Sherwood is an established young NHL player. So I know that this is going to be repeated over and over and over again. I think this is something that's you gotta push back.
I think so. All right, we have our next quote here. Marty isn't doing his job. There is work to do. No adjustments to defense zone coverage. Adjust the system. Stop juggling goalies.
This comes from a former NHLer who is part of media coverage, broadcast coverage. And I think the interesting thing that we're hearing is that there is a lot more vocal criticism of Marty St. Louis than there has ever been.
Yeah.
And it's funny that one of the media said, and he was talking about the young players, that the young players don't have the experience and know how to react in a situation with a one goal lead. Couldn't that same statement apply when you're talking about a young coach with very little experience? I think that's fascinating. They can't see that and apply with all the criticism and the desire to bring in seasoned veteran players. Why isn't there the same push to bring in a seasoned veteran coach? But we're seeing a lot of pushback, and the fact that Marty, and I've said this a million times, Marty has never had this kind of lineup before, this amount of talent, and he's never had this amount of expectations. There was expectations that the Canadians would make the playoffs, and if the young players are stressing over the pressure, you got to think that Marty is too. And we've seen some, you know, this week we saw some things in practice where he was very upset and much more emotional than we've ever seen him, and kind of reacting to the pressure. So a little bit of pressure. I don't think that that management is anywhere close to replacing him. Would they add? We've talked about adding to the coaching staff. What's sitting out there is one of the best coaches in the NHL, one of the highest winning percentages, former Dallas head coach Pete DeBoer, who was fired. Now, listen, Pete DeBoer is a coach who is excellent. He gets excellent results. But he's not going to be the player's coach like Marty has been and play favorites and give. He's going to be more of a merit-based coach, and he's not going to let veterans keep going over the boards if they're not playing well. There's a lot of buzz in Edmonton. Chris Knobloch is getting a lot of criticism, although he signed an extension in October. And a lot of buzz that Pete DeBoer could be the next head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. There's an opportunity there if the management of the Canadians want to take it, especially with Marty. May not have it. Maybe he doesn't have all the toolkit to go to take the Canadians to the next level. I just don't see Hughes or Gorton, the way they've spoken about their pal, getting into those kind of discussions.
Whew. Well, that was a lot of pretty firm statements that have been made by all sorts of authority figures, experts, you name it, this season. And some of them were absolutely true. Some of them were downright false. Some of them fell somewhere in between. We'd love to hear what all of you think of some of those things and which ones stand out the most to you. But our actual Canadians Connection question of the week for you is this. What is the one thing that you believe about the Canadians this season that others might disagree with? And why are we asking you that? Well, because that's kind of what we do here on this show. We try to be very objective about our analysis. In fact, we're going to hear from someone in the next segment, one of our listeners, who had something to say about the way we do our analysis here on the show. There's plenty of times that things that we say, a lot of other people disagree with, a lot of other members of the media and so forth may disagree with. So we want to know, what is one thing that you believe about the Canadians this season that others might disagree with? Let's hear all of your takes on this type of thing. So be sure to send us your answers on the Rocket Sports text line. That's 5853 Rocket. Drop us a comment on YouTube or on Spotify, or hit us up on social media at Habs Connection. Can't wait to hear your responses. We know they're going to be good, and we'll definitely pick the best ones to read next week on the show. All right. We are going to take one more break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. And when we come back, well, we're going to get you all set up for this week's Canadians hockey action. And we've got some really great listener and viewer responses to last week's Canadians Connection question of the week that we're going to read out for all of you. So stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list, from toys for the kids to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, like Adidas, Levi's, Old Navy, Lenovo, LG, Sephora, Best Buy, Dyson, or Lego, and cashback is automatically added to your account. And you can choose to get paid via Interac e-transfer, PayPal, or check. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.ca, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio, episode 377. Of the Canadians Connection podcast. Hey, don't forget, tap subscribe if you haven't done so already, whether you are listening on a podcast platform or watching on YouTube. Also, if you are watching or listening somewhere where you can leave us a review or a like or five stars, please do that if you are so inclined. If you enjoy the show, it really goes a long way towards helping us grow our audience, as does sharing this episode. That also takes just a second for you to share this episode with your social media followers and subscribers and friends. And it's very helpful for us in continuing to grow the audience here at the Canadians Connection podcast. Also, be sure you're following at Rocket Sports on Twitter, on X, and keep an eye out, of course, for our written content over at hockeyhotstove.com. You just head to hockeyhotstove.com, tap on the Canadians logo, and that is where you'll find our written content for the season. Don't forget, get in your responses to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. What's one thing you believe about the Canadians this season that others might disagree with? I think we're going to hear some very interesting and very varied answers to that question. Last week, we asked you, should Kent Hughes pursue a short-term veteran or stay patient and wait until top prospects can be added to the core? And we had some great responses. First up on YouTube, we had at Michael Whalen 1481, who says, centerman Oliver Kapanen's strong two-way play is going underlooked by most Habs fans. True or false? Yes, that's true, Michael Whalen 1481. We'll add you to the exercise for today. That is absolutely a true statement. He is the current underrated, undervalued Canadiens player.
Not here, not on the Canadiens Connection podcast. We've talked about him. And it's interesting because I think that the Canadian, that Habs fans and some of the media are kind of, yeah, he's the guy that is the placeholder, waiting for somebody better to come along, waiting for Hughes and Gorton to make a trade. You know, and you know, you see the fact is, well, yeah, but he's got the dynamic Demidov on his wing. It's all, but it kind of diminishes Kapanen and what he's done. And he's been good in all zones, doing some penalty killing, but he's good in his own zone. He's very good and developed great chemistry with Demidov, and he's been as a positive influence on Demidov, just as Demidov has been on him. And I'm just going to point out an article on from our friends at Daily Faceoff that went out this week, kind of timely. They talk about that he, you know, Kapanen has 8 goals. He's on pace for 25 goals, 44 points, which is incredible, as they say. Stephen Ellis makes some comments, former writer for Rocket Sports. And it's titled, and I think this is a good question or a good statement, why Canadiens Oliver Kapanen's rookie season deserves more love. So this it goes exactly with Michael's statement, and I'd encourage you to take a look at that article.
Also have a comment from, and thank you, Michael Whalen, 1481, for that comment. It's a good one. We also have a great comment from at P. Moran Fidelt. He says, no, Hughes needs to wait for a better top prospect. Texier is starting to help, but we can't just try to make quick fixes if the plan is to make the playoffs again. Mixing up the lines and maybe dipping into the Rocket might be more helpful. I also have to add, after watching the Tuesday game against the Senators, St. Louis needs to give the start to starts to Dobesh and really needs to get Montembeau some reps in the AHL to get his game back. Montembeau is letting in too many easy goals and doesn't seem to be able to get in front of the puck. I know it wasn't 100% his fault in this game. There wasn't a lot of block shots by the rest of the team, but Montembeau needs to be better than this to be that starter that St. Louis believes he is. And he then finishes by saying, on a side note, thank you both for all that you do. This podcast has the best analysis of the team, meaning best analysis of the Montreal Canadiens. And P. Moran Fidelt, we greatly appreciate that. We take that as a very big compliment, and we thank you for your kind words. We'll go further to say your comments were also very astute. They're usually very well thought out, very well defended opinions, and you didn't disappoint with this one.
And I get it. We're not everybody's cup of tea. We're not the wild cheerleaders. No. We try to be objective. We rely on our contacts. It is the Canadiens Connection, our connections around the NHL that we've cultivated over the last 15 years. And we're pretty proud of our track record.
Yeah.
This is a question that I kind of alluded to. We didn't have time for last week, so we bring it forward to this week. And it comes from our friend Leonid in St. Petersburg. And he says, I have a question. You may not know the answer, but you certainly have more opportunities to ask someone who may know the answer if it's of interest to anyone but me. What happens during the pause a player takes participating in the player assistance program? Just for example, without mentioning anyone specifically, the person has problems with alcohol. Is there a rehabilitation program or something similar? Does the league control what he does? It's clear that all cases are different and no one will disclose personal information, but perhaps at least to know in general how this program works would be helpful. Coming from Leonette, a very good question. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of a behind-the-scenes process when someone takes advantage of the player assistance program. And it can be for so many different reasons that they take advantage of that program. You mentioned alcohol or substance abuse, certainly one, but there's a wide variety of issues that they can enroll themselves in a program like that. And so the response is going to vary depending on the condition, but it is going to be led by professionals in the field, most likely medical professionals. There are going to be milestones that have to be met. The program would be approved in general. The NHL doesn't direct the program; they trust the third party to do that. Just as they do for a surgery or a physical ailment, but they're going to have to be people signing off milestones and people signing off on the various steps. So it would be a professional program. It would be an approved program. And it would be something that was tailored to the needs of the player and the ailment and the condition that they're going through.
Absolutely. Great question. And just a question from someone who wants to understand all aspects of this game of hockey. So thank you for that. All right. Well, coming up this week, we have got four games on tap this week. It's going to be a busy week for the Canadians. They, of course, are in Toronto tonight, Saturday night, for a tilt against the Leafs at 7:00. Then they come back to Montreal to host the St. Louis Blues tomorrow, Sunday night at 7:00. Then Tuesday, another home game, welcoming the Tampa Bay Lightning to town for a 7 p.m. puck drop. And Thursday, Montreal travels to Pittsburgh to take on Sid and the Penguins at 7:00 Eastern time as well. So Toronto, St. Louis, Tampa Bay, and Pittsburgh are all on the slate for this week. They're going to be great games, and we can't wait to meet you back here next Saturday, December 13th, to break it all down, talk about how the games went, and give you another big topic for you to chew on and think about. Always going to be something good, so you want to be sure that you're subscribed so that you don't miss it. Enjoy hockey this week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend if you are listening on Saturday or Sunday. If it's already the start of your work week, well, we hope your work week goes quickly and that you get to the weekend as soon as possible. In any case, thank you for listening to the Canadians Connection podcast, and we'll see you right again here next time on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.